You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@NativeTalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. Just one more reason not to conceive in front of the microwave. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. We're actually on the ball, not recording the day of.
Wait. And 2 weeks in a row. I mean, we need to get some type of a prize or a medal.
Yeah, the medal is we're actually having a live show on time. No thanks to children. Children irritate the crap out of me.
Sorry to talk over you there. A little bit of live radio moment. Can you scoot your mic away so I can see the levels? I want to see what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're there.
There we go.
Right there.
I'm so low. Why am I so low? We should check this before we go on the air.
You're fine, Brandon.
Goddamn, I know I'm fine.
Anyways, the email, if you want to join us, podcast@nativetalk.net, and you can always make comments through the Facebook page, facebook.com/nativetalkradio. Now, I wanted to open just real quick with Elizabeth Warren. Have you heard much about her?
I have heard about her for a good long time, but I'm one of those people that politics makes me angry, and I'm apathetic enough to know that nothing I can do changes it. No phone calls to congressmen or voting or blah, blah, blah is actually going to make a lick of difference. I'm just cynical like that. And so I don't really pay attention to politics. So I've heard of Elizabeth Warren many, many times, but I've also heard a lot of things she said, but I don't like follow her around and, you know, listen to everything.
You know, she's a Cherokee princess, right?
Jesus Christ, are you doing this really?
What? She did it. She released her DNA test.
Proved that she has lineage, and so you're just going to go around and be an asshole about it. Proved it? I don't understand.
She didn't. Okay, look. She proved that she's like 1/1024th.
No, dumbass. She proved that she's between 1/64th and 1/128th. 10 is 1/1028.
That's 1024th.
No. It's not, asshole. Read the story. Don't just read
I'm
the
reading the story right now. They said like 10. They said she.
They said queen.
Okay. In percentage, let me put it this way. She's got 0.1%.
That's the upper limit, dumbass. Like, it's not how things work.
Yeah, that's the upper limit. The upper limit is 0.1%, which means she could be even less than that.
No, you're so dumb. That, okay, you have a window that goes from 1/64th to 1/1028. You can't go past the 1/1028. That's the upper limit.
Look, God, the point is,
I cannot believe you're doing this on the podcast. What are you doing?
I'm saying that Elizabeth Warren is not a real Native American. That's what I'm saying.
Then you're not a real Native American.
I have a card that begs to differ.
Okay.
This is the point. This is my point here.
American is to have is to be registered in a tribe. So all those people that were part of Indian nations that were disbanded by President Jefferson, that asshole. All them, they're not real natives, right?
Because look. What I'm saying is, and look, there are different levels here. Okay, there is what you claim. Just because you claim a tribe. Just because you claim lineage doesn't make it true. If I start walking around claiming I'm German, you know, I guess I am.
Well, if you took a DNA test and they found German lineage in your DNA, you could, couldn't you?
Yeah, but the thing is, though.
What about all those people that claimed a tribe and then they got DNA tests and they learned that their great grandma wasn't a full-blooded Cherokee and they stopped talking about Native American and stopped citing that? Why is that okay? But you can't have it the other way.
Okay. What I'm saying is it's not just who you claim. It's who claims you. And when it comes to tribal membership, okay, every tribe gets to choose what their criteria for including folks in their membership is. And nobody claims Elizabeth Warren. And it's ridiculous that she's out there spouting the nonsense that she's spouting.
you're ridiculous, Clifton, because you just said that it's ridiculous for someone who's not in a federally recognized tribe to say that they're Native American, even though their blood shows that they have it in their lineage. And she's not claiming a tribe.
She said Cherokee.
Is she saying that she's in the Cherokee Nation, or is she saying that she has Cherokee ancestry, which she's proven with the DNA test?
She has not proven that, because guess what? South America, North America, even into Canada, all over the place could be, you know, native blood in you, okay? It's not like they go, oh, well, this DNA test shows that you're part of the Standing Rock Reservation. No, it doesn't work that way.
But it does tell you what region you came from.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Go take a DNA test. It tells you what region your DNA comes from. They can tell you what region of Africa, what region of Asia. They know. So I'm like, my point is, it's like somebody who says humanity has been around for 400,000 years, and you say, how do you know that? Well, I carbon dated this cave painting. Oh, can you explain me the carbon dating process? And they do so, and at the end they go, so I've discovered a range of 4,000 to 40,000 years. And that's why I say they've been around for 40,000. No, you took the upper limit because it complements your argument, because it satisfies the criteria you're looking for to build a case. And it's exactly what you did. You took, instead of the 1/64th, which is the lower end of the estimate, you took the 1/1024, which is the upper estimate. And you're like, look at how small her blood quantum level is. You don't know. The point is that she was criticized for something she said because of a story she was told as a child, what she grew up believing, and she decided to put her money where her mouth is and came up with the proof, and you come around calling her a Cherokee princess? What are you doing?
Kim Tallbear, a professor at the University of Alberta, who wrote a book titled Native American DNA. She says that while many people see Native Americans as a racial category, we have additional ideas about how to identify when someone is Native American that aren't really consistent with the way most American thinks. Our definitions matter to us. She says when somebody like Miss Warren emphasizes undocumented lineage over tribal citizenship criteria, what they're telling us is that they're privileging non-Indigenous definitions of being Indigenous. You know, we were talking about privilege. So she's saying that, like, you know, basically this DNA test, hey, that's what really matters here.
No. Okay, so this woman is basically saying the criteria to be in a tribe is different than a blood test. I agree. You need to have proven lineage and such like that, and each tribe should be allowed to make that decision for themselves. When's the last time Elizabeth Warren applied to be part of a Cherokee tribe?
She
didn't. And if she did, the blood quantum level that each tribe is allowed to set up on their own in order to allow people in or decide not to, she's probably past that anyway. But my point, why are you running around calling her a Cherokee princess when she backed it up?
She did not back it up. Come on.
Okay. So taking a DNA test and showing you proof.
10 generations in the past. That's like at least minimum 200 years, you know?
Okay, if it was she had a full-blooded grandma or great-grandma, that's three generations, right? Full-blooded great-grandma has birth to a 50% who gets – that's 1/2. Someone else has a baby, that's 1/4. Then we got 1/8, and then right there, right? Am I wrong? 1/16, 1/
You're wrong, because they're saying – because this DNA test – then why isn't she on the rolls?
Because of what you said earlier, there is not a blood test does not enroll you into a tribe. It just proves what she's been saying and what everyone has been hating on her for saying, and she backed it up. Oh my God. I hate it when provable facts are laid in front of you and you just don't want to believe.
Okay, okay. This from Mr. Hoskin, the Cherokee Nation's Secretary of State, who says, look, this isn't the, you know, our tribal membership. It's not just a card that we hold. This is something.
It's not about tribal membership.
This is something that we consider a dear possession and we don't take it lightly. Right?
I don't either, but she's not trying to become an enrolled member of a tribe. She's pissed off at people calling her a liar, and she put her money where her mouth is. Why is that bad? And she proved it.
She didn't prove jack.
Hey, listen, if this DNA test came back and it said 0%, and she, for some reason, released the findings, and you got to see that, you would be loving that information. You would be using that as a weapon at every point to show this woman said something, and look, I have proof that she lied. But when it comes back with a different result that you don't like, you're just dismissing it and making fun of her still. It's not logical.
Why does she feel the need to come out and make these claims in the first place? She had herself listed as a Native American at, where did she go, Harvard or wherever she went. She was like, you know, naming herself. Like, why? Why would you even do that? You know what I mean?
I don't know Elizabeth Warren personally. I know that I was also bubbling the Native American bubble since I was a child because my parents told me I was Native American.
You are.
And even though she's not part of a tribe, she has ancestry blood of Native American. That so essentially, yes, she does.
Barely.
In front of you that you brought to the table and started this discussion with that I'm talking about. Yes, she does. So essentially, her beginning life was the same as mine. I grew up in a family that wasn't traditionally Native American. I had a mother who was Native American and a father who was white. And they did not teach me Native American ways, but they told me I'm a Native American. So when I did standardized testing, I bubbled the little bubble that said Native American. I didn't know my tribal enrollment number. I didn't know my blood quantum level. All I knew is that my mom told me I was Native American. That's what I went with.
So you know, somehow I feel like there's a little bit more valid in your case since, you know, you are.
Necessarily. I mean, but okay, just because I'm part of a federally recognized tribe doesn't mean that she doesn't have this story, that she doesn't have this ancestry. She clearly does. I mean, that she released the results. I don't know, man.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. It looks like I've got, you know, I've got my board and everything like that, and I've got it connected to the television. It looks like Elizabeth Warren is on television right now. I guess she's singing a song. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm going to sit quietly until you're done.
I'm done. I'm just saying, look, having 0.1% does not constitute, like, you know, let's go out and tell the whole world, you know?
Close to 2%, but whatever.
Oh, okay. So between 0.1% and 1% and 2%, like, wow, you know? And you don't even know where that came from.
You're saying $1 is nothing compared to $200? You're a fool.
Yeah, well, when the full thing is $200,000, you know, your $2 doesn't matter much.
Mm-hmm. This was a fun conversation. I'm glad we could have this on the podcast.
I'm glad, but too.
My sticking point is the way you opened it, how you're using Fox News's and Donald Trump's little kitschy catchphrases against her. And I'm like, why? If it was any other subject and any other person, you would be in support of somebody bringing evidence of their claims. But for
not
some
like
reason,
that. Come on.
But for some reason, her bringing evidence for her claims makes her a Cherokee princess. Like, Jesus Christ, dude, what are we doing?
All I'm saying is Elizabeth Warren is making things up. And
oh, my God. Oh my God. Making
okay,
things.
You know what? This is like a melting pot. And if you look in the last 200 to 300 years, melting. Okay, you look in the last 200 years or so, I'm betting you're going to find a drop of a lot of different things that doesn't make you, oh, I got a drop of African in me. I guess I'm going to go to Africa and claim to be, you know, an African warlord. Really?
Okay, you are exaggerating what she is claiming. Drastically, and what she's trying to do. She did not take her blood quantum level and approach the Cherokee tribe and say, I demand to be enrolled in your tribe. No, she's responding to people that are dogging her for what she said, which she grew up with, the story that she learned. And so she went to find answers. And when she found them, everybody rejected the answers and continued making fun of her. It makes no sense.
You know what? You might not have known it, but I actually grew up with the stories that I had an ancestor that was a snowman.
That's really white of you, Cliff.
Well, you know, I grew up with those stories, and you know, so I just always believed it. So, you know, when it came time to fill in the bubble, I filled in snowman.
And then when you took a DNA test, is that what it came back with?
Yes, it did.
You're being really icy right now, Cliff. Blood's running kind of cold.
All right, real quick. I Last week we had an email. We'll just do this really fast. And remember Chris, who wrote to school me on white privilege and stuff like that?
Yeah, the white guy that finally got you to believe in white privilege. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. I tried.
Hi, guys. This is Chris. I wrote the email.
Hi, Chris.
She says, Cliff, I'm curious. When my email was read, you said, I am a woman, and I'm curious if you would have taken my statement just as seriously had you known, or would you have thought less of me and not taken it as seriously? So go ahead.
Second one. Yeah. Knowing Cliff the whole life, he probably wouldn't even have read your email. He would have seen Christina or whatever, and nope, not reading that and throwing it away.
Uh-huh.
He's just as sexist as he is.
Oh, right. Because I never read any emails from females. It's ridiculous.
See, he agrees. The only one he ever read was Nancy's.
Look, I actually responded to this. Hey, I want to read this part of my response. Okay, I said, of course, because you know, if you listen to this show, you know that we on occasion kid around with misogynistic statements on occasion, but it's
every occasion
because it's funny. But whenever we get into an actual discussion on the subject, you know, I don't have a problem engaging in a serious manner about, you know, what I believe in and how I hold women in high regard. Because guess what? I actually do. I believe women are somewhat as capable as, you know, kind of like the lower echelon of men. So basically you take like the crappiest man and like the best woman kind of is somewhat equal to that.
Yeah, that's not sexist at all. Yeah.
I'm kidding again, all right?
No, and I love how you're using this response as a way to show that you're not sexist, right? And of course, the joking aside, I mean, just the literal response. But in doing so, you compartmentalize men and women and are comparing them as two different classes of people, as two different types of people, when in reality, we're all people and each individual.
No, and seriously, that's the way, yeah, that's what I've always believed. I don't
but
like
But that's not what you're saying. You're saying that the men, you're comparing men as a group and saying, men as an entity, as if all men were the same, is equal to women as an entity. No, I can find a million men that are horrible against a million women and vice versa. Each of us are different. We can't compare each other's worth by saying you're a man or a woman. You compare people's worth from their individual basis, from who they are as a person. Not
yeah, okay, but here's the thing, though. Oh. I'm responding in that way because...
Call Elizabeth Warren and make a complaint.
I am making that distinction because in the world we live in today, hashtag me too, hashtag time's up, you know, women hear me roar. You know what I'm saying?
No, you just opened it up with that. What's your point?
My point is the women and the feminists and stuff like that are demanding to be seen as a separate entity. How many notes have I seen on Facebook and elsewhere about the governor of Idaho who could be the first woman indigenous person? You know what I mean?
No. I do agree with you, and I rage against the liberal media because they say that they're trying to bring everyone to an equal level, but then they start critiquing like the movies based on how many black people are in it. You know, like they want to fill the racial role first and then let everyone's personal achievements and like their skill come second. Whereas I say, let the best movie win no matter who the color of the main character is.
Yeah.
Let the best person get employed no matter what their race, religion, or creed is. I don't know the words, but this idea that you have to be a minority first in order to get somewhere, the left wing touts that and it bothers the crap out of me. It really
does.
Yeah,
me too. And when in my mind, it's like I just see people as people. If a woman is in a position of, at work or whatever, and she's performing well, I say, hey, that person is doing a good job. And I don't even really take note of the fact, but it's almost impossible to do that these days. You know what I mean? That was my point there.
Yeah, it is just an overall frustration for me that people want to have women be like what was the phrase I heard, like women's time or something like that. So many feminist women want to swing the pendulum so far back that men are subservient to women and that women have all the positions of authority. I feel the same way about that as I do about racism. If it's wrong in one direction, it's wrong in both directions. If it's wrong to have only men be the positions of power and hold women down, it's equally as wrong to have women then take those positions of power and hold men down.
Yeah, I agree. And plus you have to, and Chris mentions this later, about how sometimes when men are talking to a woman, you have to watch your words and be careful. You know what I mean? And that, look, honestly, that's just a fact of life. If you don't know who you're talking to and you're not sure, it's just better to be careful rather than, you know, start spouting off and you know, potentially offend somebody. You don't want to do that, right?
Depending on how you want to live your life. If you're one of those people that only wants to surround themselves with like-minded people, I say feel free to go speak your voice. And all the people that you piss off, no, seriously. And all the people that you piss off, they don't want to deal with you. Good. They've separated you from their lives. They don't want a racist bigot, for example. And good. You, Mr. Racist Bigot, not you, Cliff. You're the different guy. But you can find other racist bigots to go talk to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, be who you are.
I guess so. But that's not being very open or inclusive. You know what I'm saying?
If you're a racist bigot, you don't want to be open or inclusive. I'm just saying, identify who you are to other people. Let them know who you are so that America can be divided. We're going to be divided anyway. Let's just stop pretending, you know?
But you know what, though? I'm also a fan of picking your battles. And if I'm at work with somebody or if I meet somebody and I'm talking to them and they say something that I disagree with, and I'm just going to be like, you know what? I don't really want to have that argument or that fight. And so I'll just carefully sidestep the issue and just go like, you know, oh, yeah, how about that? You know what I mean? Because I don't want to engage in that with that person at that time. And I think that's okay.
Well, especially since you put the atmosphere at work, I think work changes a lot of what I said. If you're at a place of employment, you need to take your racist bigotry and set it aside.
Or people who are kind enough to write into our radio show.
Is that what we're doing? I got so sidetracked. I forgot.
Yeah. Well, I'm just reading a couple of different parts. Chris says, because I responded the way I did, and she says, look, Cliff, I'm just poking the bear as well. It's fair to say, listening to your show, that the two of you do plenty of rib jabs to each other, you know, and I'm just kind of doing it back. So I don't actually mind that you assumed my name was masculine. But I've noticed...
Like Chris, I don't see how you got confused.
Right? So she says, I've actually noticed that men take me less seriously than women. And sometimes some women will actually take me less seriously than they would a man. So yep. I just wanted to, you know, see. But it's
I've observed that as well, Chris. And it's frustrated me on my wife's behalf, but also on female coworkers' behalf, because like I'll have the same job as a woman making sales calls or whatever. I'm doubling her sales calls. So they ask me, can you overshadow her and see what she's doing wrong? She ain't doing nothing wrong. She's doing everything I'm doing, saying the same words, same way, doing everything she's got to do. She gets less sales. Why? That's kind of what I figured is because I'm a man. People, especially I was working with cars. And so people with cars, they want to hear a man's voice telling them what they need done. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yep. So last thing, she says, it's nice of you to think that my gender changes nothing. However, I think now that you're being a little bit more careful in how you respond. Are you being more considerate than if I had stuck with the idea that my persona was masculine? Perhaps we would be joking around just a little bit more.
I don't know what joke to say to that.
Oh, by the way, and she also said it's not a fair. Okay, so she goes, I want you to be aware, Brandon, that not all homeless people sit there begging. Have the mental capacity to seek out help, or they may be physically unable to bend and pull cans from the trash or carry a heavy bag of cans around. I don't think it's a fair judgment to make that the person that appears to be doing something is worth more than the homeless person who's just sitting where they were 6 hours earlier. So,
and I'm going to reverse right back on Chris, because I do treat you as equal, and I'm not going to pussyfoot, no pun intended. I believe that's wrong. I think that if someone, I try to put myself in their shoes. If I was someone who was physically incapable of bending over, someone who's physically incapable of carrying a 15-pound bag of cans, I would improvise because I'm a human and I can adapt and overcome. I don't care what mental disability you have, what learning disability you have, no matter what station of life you're in, you're capable of looking at your environment and changing it for the better. I don't agree with sitting down and giving up ever. Because if you can't bend over, get a sharp stick that can pierce aluminum. If you can't carry a bag of cans, get a shopping cart from a Target. They don't watch their parking lots, and go throw the bags in the park and in the rolling cart.
I would like to advocate for not stealing carts from Walmart. Those are quite expensive, and
that's why I suggested Target. You're welcome. So anyway. My point is, you, no matter who you are, no matter what your situation in life is, work harder, try harder. You will find a way. Everybody does when they try. So I don't agree with sitting down and giving up ever being the answer.
Okay. Well, if Chris would like to respond to that, then by all means. But and, I just wanted you to give you the opportunity to respond there.
I've been through a high school where we had classrooms full of mentally disabled people, and they were
Brandon, they're called cripples.
I think when it's a mental disability, they're
They're just called retarded.
Anyway, they had
use the proper term.
They were able to go out with the other students during passing periods, during lunch, during PE, such like that. So I got interaction with them. They're able to learn math. They're able to converse. They're able to go from not understanding a social situation and making a mistake, seeing the repercussions, and then changing in the future. They're just as capable as we are. They're just not on the same speed. So they just have to work harder. And I think every individual, no matter your physical disability, no matter your mental disability, no matter what you were born into or where you are in life, everybody can make themselves better. Everybody can work hard.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I don't have to.
Yeah, you took such a long time setting that up, too.
I know. I was looking for it, but you finished before I had a chance to have any fun with you. So anyway, all right.
You
we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I just want to spend a minute or two. I did not intend to get into this ridiculous conversation about how much you love Elizabeth Warren. Didn't know you were... such a Warren fan.
No, I didn't know that you were just going to tout off Fox News taglines and not think for yourself.
Look, honestly, I've never liked her. I don't know if that has.
You don't like her because she disagrees with the policies that you believe in. And you don't like her because she's the voice of the other side. But don't like her for those things. That's fine. Those are things that she believes in and things that she mentally created. Hate her for that. That's fine. Just don't hate her for showing up to the party with proof.
I mentally created a skyscraper, so I'm going to start telling people I'm an architect.
Dumbass.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about the North Dakota thing. So,
thank God. More fun at the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net. We listen to the other guys. That's why we don't imitate them. Now, grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or Hard.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
This is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Okay, let's be honest. If Van Gogh was alive today and he had to listen to the competition, he'd probably cut off the other ear. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the program. Message line, if you want to call up and leave us a voice message, 970-278-5791. And as always, feel free to visit us online and download a few shows. I like your headphones, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they're Turtle Beach XO7s.
Yeah, a lot better than the earbuds you had before. I think you probably hear a little bit better as well, huh?
I had some pretty killer earbuds before, so it's about on par.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Anyway, yeah. So before the show, we were talking a little bit about the North Dakota situation, and it sounds to me like you might understand it a little bit better than I do. So why don't you go ahead and set the table there, then we'll make a comment or two about the situation.
I wouldn't say I understand it.
Well, neither do I, but you explained it to me pretty well.
What happened was my wife, she was already livid about it, and she was coming out saying that the Native Americans in North Dakota are assigned P.O. boxes by the government. They're not assigned a physical address. And North Dakota is like the only state in the nation that doesn't require voter registration.
Now, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
It's up to states for them to decide how they want to run their elections. I'm not going to decide if it's good or a bad thing. Okay. I'll say 49 out of 50 states have decided it's a bad thing. So there's that. But
good point.
So you don't have to bring, you don't have to register to vote in that state. Instead, you have to bring an identification. And in before 2013, it was something like, you could bring a school ID, a tribal ID, a state ID or driver's license, or you could just have the guy at the voter booth vouch for you. The dude there could just say, oh yeah, I know this guy, and signs off on it. And that was how you voted.
But now, I want to mention that does seem to open the door to potential voter fraud.
And even though there was no statistical proof.
How would you know?
And this is one of the points I said, how do you count illegal immigrants in America? You can't. You know, you're just guessing. You can't prove that it's not happening just because you don't have evidence of it. Anyway, that's a rabbit hole. But they changed it in 2013. They started making it so that they began limiting the IDs that you could bring, and they began limiting the supplemental documents that you could bring. If you didn't have an ID, you could bring other paperwork to show who you were, okay. Phone bill, crap like that. So they started narrowing all that down. And in the 2016 election, there was this guy who he had his tribal ID, but it didn't have a physical address on it. And so he went and tried to vote and they denied him. And he had to go get his birth certificate from Arkansas and try to get a physical address and an ID and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he missed the election. He couldn't vote because he didn't have the right documentation. And so he began this appeal process that lasted for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And just, I want to say September 24th, the Supreme Court ruled on the appeal saying no and turned it back to the state Supreme Court, right? So,
which means now, that their ruling stands.
Yeah. And so it's not over, but it's kind of mixed up right now. And as it stands, people in North Dakota are going to have to get, specifically natives in North Dakota, are going to have to get a physical address assigned to their residence so that they can vote, and then they can bring the letter.
Yeah, and that's a bit of a challenge. So here's the thing that I wonder.
It's actually not that hard. They make a phone call and they spend about an hour on the phone, and then they get a letter to their PO box that confirms the address, and then they can take that letter with them with their tribal ID to go vote.
Yeah, I heard so they have to call like 911, but for people, for whatever reason. Let's say you have a hardship on that, and you're a Native American. What if you're one of these natives who like wants to live in the old traditional like teepee kind of thing? I don't know. Maybe you're a nomad because you say, "Hey, I want to live the way of my ancestors." I don't know. Why can't? And I don't know the answer to this. You're a member of a federally recognized tribe. Why can't you go to the tribal administration office and get an address there? You know what I mean?
Because you don't have an address. The state required tribal members to get PO boxes. They said, step one, get a PO box. Step two, you can't vote unless you have a physical address.
And but you know what, though? But
Native Americans disproportionately.
Look, I get that. And if that's the case, look, this sounds to me like, you know, it could possibly be straight up voter suppression. And I don't like that idea. But, you know, there's a difference between like a post office box at the post office. But if I go down to, you know, the UPS store, I can get a street address, and there's no real differentiation between an apartment, because, you know, I could have like an address apartment 106, you know. What if I write down apartment 106, but it's box 106? As long as you've got a street address, and why can't I have that at the administration building where they've got a box for me, right? Box 123. And I'm just writing, hey, that's my apartment number. That's where I live. I got a street address now.
But it's a PO box. And I don't know if mail will get delivered to apartment 123 when no apartment 123 exists. It's PO box 123. The mail carrier is probably not going to drop things in the mailbox because it's not the right address. My point is, you can't go in with the PO box and register, but that doesn't matter because the state doesn't require registration anyway. And so anyway, the thing that I was blown about was this idea that we're supposed to register with a PO box, but that's not even allowed anywhere.
If I'm homeless, can't I just have my mail sent to like my brother's house and I just get mail there and then I register to vote at your address? Big deal, right?
If that's what you're claiming as your primary address and you're not having any other addresses in the mix, I can't see why not.
If I had another address in the mix, why wouldn't I just use that one?
That's another good point. But you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of different ways around this, but here's the part that I do find messed up. And this came from, coincidentally enough, Miss Elizabeth Warren pointed this out. She said that the state ruling went in the favor of the Native American man that didn't have his IDs. And then it was the guy on the other side. He appealed that and got it overturned. But this happened after the primaries. So during the primaries, they were using the 2013 laws and they're able to bring in their tribal IDs without addresses and they know them and they're able to do the primary voting. But now the rules have changed again and they're not going to be able to bring those same ID cards. So Miss Elizabeth Warren points out it's perfectly reasonable for someone to go to the primaries with this ID card and then they assume that same identification will work for the actual election. And she says this will cause a lot of people not to pursue these other avenues thinking they're fine.
Okay, so this is how I would suggest, if I had any kind of power at all, which I don't, I would say, like, when people show up with those IDs at this election, let them vote, but tell them, hey, this isn't going to work the next time. That way they've got plenty of time to go and get things taken care of, have, you know, printouts, hey, here's what you need to do, you need to go do it, you know, we'll take this time, but next time, no.
It's such a hard road to walk, though, because this decision was only made 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. So if you push it off, and I'm talking, you know, so that way they've got 2 more years.
You missed my point. This decision only happened 3 weeks ago, so who's to say it's not going to go back? The Supreme Court did not rule on the constitutionality of voter ID law. They ruled on a very specific question in relation to it, so they didn't overturn or uphold anything. They just reversed it back to the other court's decision. This road is not over. So I'm assuming in 2 years when another election rolls around, my assumption is these IDs are still going to work.
You know what, though? It's probably good advice to anybody to get an ID with an address on it.
Well, and that's the other thing I was getting mad about yesterday talking to my wife about this was if you cared enough to vote, you would know that this is the situation, right?
If I was there and I had a tribal ID without an address, I'd be like, I should probably get one of those at some point, you know?
And it's not my, what am I saying? If I had the prerogative to vote, if I felt it so inclined to go vote, getting this type of roadblock is not going to stop me. A 1 hour phone call is not going to stop me from voting if I wanted to begin with.
Quite true. All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to touch on that. But thank you all, as always, for listening. That'll do it for us today. But we'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. Have a great day. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. This is the nativetalk.net radio podcast. We now suck less, slightly. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.